we've got Zane, who's up at the Rising Tide event that's going on at the moment. Tell us all about what's going on, Zane.
So I'm up in sunny Mullumbimby, Newcastle, at the People's Blockade of the world's largest coal port. This has not happened every year since 2005, but there's been at least a dozen of them since then. And this is set to be the largest one yet. There was about 7,000 people here last year. It's looking like numbers are going to eclipse that this year. So there's a big tent city. There's large marquees and meeting places. There's lots of little tents set up where people are camping. And we're going to be using people power to blockade what is the world's largest coal exporting port. And about 80 to 85% of what gets exported out of the Port of Newcastle is thermal coal for power stations. There's, you know, there's a complex discussion to be had about coking coal that's used in steel production, but the bulk of what's going out of here is power stations, and that's the low-hanging fruit that we need to get rid of and replace with renewables. So it's a plumb target, it's a choke point, and it's eminently possible to shut it down with lots of people, and that's what we're doing.
And there's been, last year, there was a lot of effort made by the New South Wales government to try and suppress this kind of demonstration, and they were unsuccessful, weren't they? And the local council were behind, were actually quite supportive of the gathering.
Yes. So actually, the Newcastle had a Labor Lord Mayor for quite a while, and last year there was an independent Lord Mayor, Ross Kerridge, elected. He was supportive of the blockade last year, and then he kind of changed his tune a little bit after there was an arrest action. He said, oh, I don't know so much. Unfortunately, this guy, you know, as much as I disagree with him changing his position about the blockade, he's getting treated for cancer at the moment. And so the acting Lord Mayor is Charlotte McCabe, who's from the Greens, and she is very supportive of the blockade. So that's very handy because having the council on side really helps a lot in terms of us being able to camp here in the Foreshore Park. And yes, the Labor government of Chris Minns really were quite clumsy last year in trying to stop the blockade. They used special events legislation. Port of Newcastle, okay, has lots of coal ships going through it, but you also just have people in their tinny going out to go fishing and, you know, people going for a paddle on canoes. And there's special events legislation that says if there is a regatta or speedboats or some sort of special event, then the state government is allowed to shut down the port to allow that facility, that event to happen safely. And they tried to use that legislation to stop the blockade. And it was like, well, okay, what's the special event that you're excluding us from the port for? And they said the special event is the blockade. And the Supreme Court in New South Wales said, nice try, New South Wales government. You can't use that legislation to exclude people from their own event. So that was pretty funny.
That's so loony.
But they have created a, under different type of legislation, they've created a maritime exclusion zone. So they've given us a little strip of Horseshoe Beach where we're allowed to be in the water, and they've put out some yellow buoys, and then beyond that, we're not meant to go into the shipping channel.
So now, we'll now I know that the MUA would have stopped ships because, and rather the harbour master stopped ships because of safety concerns, which is a right and proper thing to do, right?
So the blockade's been happening since 2005, and for the first year or two, they tried to plough ships through the blockade.
Ooh.
You did have small numbers of people paddling out in front of the ships. It created a safety issue. So from the kind of late noughties until the also the 2023 blockade, ships were stopped. However, last year, as part of this aggressive new approach by the Minns government, they did once again send ships through, which I found quite disturbing. coming from a sort of OHS perspective, I think it's lunacy sending ships through when you've got groups of people on the sidelines. And it was that context in which a bunch of people took part in an arrestable action last year, paddled out into the shipping lane as a giant empty coal ship was coming into the port to be loaded up. And this forced the coal ship to have to turn around at late notice. And that was the first time that the people's blockade has actually caused a ship to have to turn around. So I think the harbour master on safety grounds should be shutting down the port with this many people, you know, blockading on the edges. But yep. I, from what I understand, they will be trying to send ships through today, which I think is just madness. But that's the coal industry.
Well, we'll see what happens.
People in Parliament and in high places.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit more about the demands that Rising Tide's making?
Yeah, sure. So Rising Tide has three demands. Number one, immediately cancel all new fossil fuel projects. I think that's pretty incontrovertible. And we've got a lot of coal seam gas activists here. There's a group of up in the Northern Territory who've been fighting coal seam gas in the Beetaloo Basin. In the Save the Burrup campaign, there's people from the campaign to stop coal seam gas mining in the Pilliga. So I'll try and find some of this. This is a blockade of a coal port, but it's also a sort of a lightning rod and a focal point for activists from across the land who are opposing fossil fuel projects. And it's kind of welcoming for all of those who, you know, it's one struggle and one fight.
Yeah, yeah, and that's
why. The second demand is to tax fossil fuel export profits at 78% to fund community and industrial transition and pay for climate loss and damage. Norway taxes their oil exports at 78%, and they've got a $2 trillion sovereign wealth fund to show for it, and they can fund all sorts of decent services and, you know, a solid welfare state in Norway. We could have something like that here in Australia, but typically, because our governments are captured by multinational fossil fuel and mining interests, the resources stolen off Aboriginal land are practically given away for free, and there's very little to show for it. And that's a big issue here, because as the world stops using coal, or indeed as we put the brakes on our coal exports for climate action, there are a bunch of workers who currently work in that industry who are going to need other jobs to go to. And so the key part of that demand is to free up the cash to be able to invest in alternative job creation in the region, so that those workers aren't put in a position where they're needing to choose between staying in a coal job or becoming unemployed. And there is high unemployment in the region, and certainly in the Upper Hunter. So it's a very live and serious issue. And then the final demand, end all coal exports from Newcastle by 2030. That's frankly pretty ambitious. I don't know if we're quite going to get that one across the line, but the Rising Tide have been doing this blockade since 2020, and spokespeople for the coal industry, including, unfortunately, some in the union movement, have said, oh, you can't just shut coal exports overnight. Well, by the time we get to 2030, Rising Tide will have been doing these protests for a quarter of a century.
Exactly.
So it's, I don't think you can call a quarter of a century overnight.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's, I think, the union movement leaves a bit to be desired in terms of really pushing for a transition. But I also think, compared to 20 years ago when we did the first blockade, there has been a lot of progress in that space. There's the 100 Jobs Alliance now, and there are people around the union movement who I think are pretty... they can see the writing on the wall for the coal industry, the need for a transition, and they know that Rising Tide are not the enemy of workers.
Hey, Zane, what does your day look like? What's going to happen for you?
I'm going to be looking at a small bag with a phone and wallet and personal possessions from a family member, because they might be doing something that involves them not wanting to have those things on them. I'm going to be a contact person, just in case these people might happen to enter into His Majesty's custody. And then I'm going to be going down to the beach. There's a sort of a family-friendly kickoff day where there'll be sandcastle building, and the beach where we do the blockade is a dog beach, so there's going to be a cutest dog competition or some sort of thing along those lines. And then I believe at 11 o'clock is when the big paddle out starts. And then later on today, there's going to be a bunch of live music playing at a stage in a park right near the beach. And I'm really looking forward to seeing The Herd, who back in the day, little underground bands would play at the blockade. And these days, now that it's got bigger, you're getting much more high-profile mainstream artists like The Herd, Lime Cordial, Montaigne, Mudrat are going to be performing over the weekend. So, yeah. It's, and after our interview, I'm going to be going down and getting some breakfast. And there's a mob there called the Turbo Cooks. And the quality of the food here at the blockade, I've got to say, it has just been superb.
Well, thank you for delaying your culinary delights.
And if there's any listeners, this is going to be happening again this time next year. I know Mullumbimby, Newcastle is a long way away. It's 1,000 k's from Melbourne. But once you've come here once, you'll get it. You'll see those massive coal ships lining up to get filled up. And you'll enjoy the beautiful vibes here. And you'll probably be wanting to come back again in 2027. So I'd really encourage people. It is a bit of a mish to get up here, but it's a very, there's a real sense of community power here, and it's a beautiful event and powerful.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you.